I want to unpack this a little bit, though, and sort of read between the lines. See, there was an idol-worshipping widow and her son, and they were hungry. And the Bible doesn't say this was an idol-worshipping widow, but she was from Zarephath, and everyone from Zarephath would have worshipped Baal. I know that she says some things in here that say, you are a man of God. That meant that she respected him as a prophet from a faith outside of hers, but this widow was not a follower of the God of Israel. So, the idol-worshipping widow and her son were hungry, and Elijah saw that they got fed. And then things got worse. The widow's son got sick and died. And the widow yelled at Elijah and yelled at God. What have you against me, O man of God? You've come to bring my sin on remembrance and cause the death of my son. It's slightly evident in here that she was kind of openly mocking Elijah and God as someone who couldn't do what she wanted to have done. I don't think she held back at all. She said it was on her mind, and she gave Elijah and his God what for. Then what did Elijah do? He yelled at God, and God brought the son back to life. And I have never heard a preacher say that when a child dies, yell at God, yell at the religious folk, speak with sarcasm and anger, and then have the religious folk yell at God and pray for the child to come back to life and everything will have a happy ending. But that's what happened right here. How do you reconcile that with some of the times where we hear about God's wrath? We just had Noah's Ark in here. A story that, sure, it's about deliverance of Noah, but it's a story of God's wrath. And I have openly said how much I dislike or hate that story. It's great to learn in Sunday school. We build arcs and we see all of that. We see the animals two by two and we have the song, the animals, they came in by, yeah. It is fun, but underneath it is this, oh my goodness, here is a God that destroyed everything. And then we see this story from 1 Kings, and here is a God that looks at someone who is not part of the God club, who yells and mocks, and God says, all right, I got you. That's the God of deliverance. That's the God who says that I have got your back. And that's the God that it's hard to reconcile with the God of the story of Noah's Ark. This is the God who is present time and time and time again in the Bible. When people do what is wrong, sure, sometimes bad things happen, but then God seeks and finds ways to bring things back into some kind of redemption, some kind of goodness. And then people respond, of course, with the negative. See, it seems that God is more interested in comforting those who are in dire straits and giving compassion to those who are sad than worrying about who or what they worship or how polite or respectful they are towards God or any kind of religious folk. Because that's what God does. We see it again and again. That's God revealed in the Old Testament. That's God revealed in the New Testament. That's God revealed in Jesus. I don't think that when bad things happen to us, we're going to get a fat wallet by praying for it, or we're going to get enough food by praying for it, or we're going to have people who have died brought back from the dead because we want it. Because even though God, the God of miracles, sure, capable of all of that, it's just not really that likely, is it? I mean, do we see that? I know that sometimes you hear stories about things like that happening, but extremely unlikely. this story. There's something very teachable in this story, and that's God loves us through every emotion, through every experience, through every mistake, through every celebration, through every bit of profanity we utter, and I'll bet some of you have uttered lots of it even today, right? Or how polite or respectful we are to a minister or to God. Through everything. It's as if the phrase that I want us to always remember, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, it's as if that phrase cannot contain what God wants and how God is. It's so much deeper than that, yet we can't quite do it. We work on this part here. You're welcome here. And God says, do you see how big my arms are? I don't care what you've done. My arms are big enough for you. My love is big enough for you. So does that mean we should make up a rip on God club? What do you think? Think God will like that? Probably not. Should we tell everyone that God is mean and terrible because God's going to love us no matter what? No. I don't think that we have to go out of our way to do stuff like that. That's Paul and that's Martin Luther. Should we sin so that grace may abound? No. But grace abounds. Remember that. Should we just rip on God because we know God forgives us? No. But sometimes we don't feel right. Sometimes we're angry. Sometimes we spout. Sometimes we have feelings that we don't feel like we should be having, but they're there anyway. And God says, I love you through that, no matter what. So, here's a big question for you. What can you do to make God deny loving you? Nothing.